the Financial Sense Lifetime Planning Program. Here's your host, Jim Poplava.
Well, many of you may have noticed that something changed all last month on our show. A number of you wrote in asking, saying, hey, where's Jim at? We want to answer that question for you today. So, Jim, do you mind sharing what you experienced last month?
Yeah, I'm Jim Poplava, and I'm one of the 99% of Americans that have survived COVID. So, actually, I've been out, it's been about, 6-8 weeks since I've done the show?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, I was diagnosed on July 16th, 15th or 16th. Anyway, that's a lot of you are thinking, you know, where's Waldo? You know, where'd he go? But it's good to be back in the saddle. What I wanted to cover with you today is, you know, I've survived COVID and you can too. And I want to tell you a little bit about what I had to go through, what I did to prepare for it, how I got better, and what I did. And we're going to provide a bunch of links to stories, research reports, CDC, and everything, so that hopefully you can do what I've done, is do your own research and come to your own conclusions as to your own health.
And Jim, that did not involve snorting horse dewormer, correct?
No, I did not. I was not even near a horse. But anyway, I want to start out and say this. I am not a doctor. So what I did may or may not work for you, and I'm not here to give you medical advice. What I'm going to do is just basically share from a personal experience for what it's worth. But, you know, once again, like all of us, we need to make our own healthcare decisions. So this is not about pro or con against vaccines or anything like that. It is simply my story.
So, Jim, we established that you were not snorting horse dewormer, but where does your story begin?
You know, Chris, when we were first told about COVID, I can still remember the day when it started making the evening news. Next thing you know, we were shutting things down here in California. I can remember it was on a Thursday night. I was in the supermarket trying to get eggs. Remember when you couldn't get toilet paper, you couldn't get eggs. Costco was limiting you to, you know, only 2 packages of meat. And I, like everybody else, I've never been exposed to this. I mean, we have flu season every year. We deal with that. But this was different. And so I, like everybody else, was doing what we were all told to do. And if you recall, back at the end of February and March, we were told we didn't need masks. We were told that, you know, wash your hands and wear gloves. So we went out and got gloves. And then all of a sudden, you know, a couple weeks later or a month later or whatever it was like, oh, no, now you have to wear masks. And so, like everybody else, I went out and got masks, but I actually did some research and I found masks that were infused with copper, which is an antiviral. So I was wearing copper masks. And so, you know, as we were told, as this progressed, as it got worse, as we began to shut down, I was doing basically like what everybody else did. When they said, wash your hands, wear gloves, I washed my hands, wore gloves. When they said, wear a mask, I went out and I bought a mask. So, you know, wasn't much different than anybody else. But then the thing that really kind of struck me, Chris, and got me thinking was the story and the requirements kept changing. You remember we were said, you don't need a mask. That's for healthcare workers. You wear gloves. And then all of a sudden it changed from you wearing gloves, washing your hands, to you need masks. Then it changed to, well, one mask, then it'd be 2 masks. Then it changed to, well, if you get the vaccine, you don't have to wear a mask and you can't get COVID. Well, we know that's changed. And also the shutdowns. And I really began to think, and I thought about it, you know, because when we were in the early days of the shutdown, about the only place you could get anything was Costco, the big box stores. So you could go to Costco, you can go to Target, you can go to Walmart, but a lot of the other stores were closed. Gyms were closed down. I was going to a Pilates studio learning Legree, and unfortunately that studio was shut down. So a lot of this stuff was shut down. I began to ask myself, wait a minute, I can go to Costco and Walmart and Target and I can't get COVID, but if I go to the local pizza place, I will. So I began to question, and a lot of red flags started to, you know, cross my mind, like some of this stuff and some of the things that were being mandated, Chris, just simply didn't make sense. Like telling Home Depot you can't sell, you know, tile, carpet, and paint, or you could be a family of four at home, but you couldn't be a family, no more than a family of two on a boat, no matter how big it was. So a lot of the things I was seeing just didn't make sense. Politicians weren't following what they were mandating. And then the story kept changing. The other thing that really began to, I guess, really raise questions with me is when the big tech companies began censoring stories. I was researching, what do you do with COVID? Because it seemed to be like, well, you stay at home, and if you get bad enough, you go to the hospital, they put you on a ventilator and hope you make it. Why weren't we talking about therapeutics? And when therapeutics first began to arise, especially things like hydroxychloroquine, it was censored. And that's what really began to push me down like anything else. You know, I have an analytical mind. It's what I do for a living. I don't care if I'm looking at a stock, I'm looking at a bond, or looking at macroeconomics. I get into detail and I get into research. So I began doing the same thing when it came to COVID treatments, protocols, therapeutics. And I came to the conclusion, Chris, that when you get COVID, you need to treat it immediately. You don't want it to get out of hand. You don't want it to get into your lungs or anything like that. So that's when I began looking at therapeutics.
So like most of us, you took COVID quite seriously. Then as the stories and the requirements and the policies started changing, you, as many else, me included, started to realize that, and this is something we've discussed on the show many times, that a lot of this, a lot of the decisions being made here were driven by political science and not actual data. And, you know, you weren't able to sail your boat because COVID was out there. And, you know, I went to the beach and lifeguards were going around and telling people that they had to be moving on the beach. They couldn't sit on the beach. Even if they were socially distanced, they couldn't sit. They could only walk or run. So there's all these things, you know, where there's just an overreaction or clearly an overreach on government policy, government decisions on what we could and can't do. I think that that's very clear to many people that raised red flags. You know, I do have one anecdotal example I want to share about how something I posted was censored. And that was early on when there was some information about how it was likely, very likely, that COVID came out of the Wuhan lab and that there were a lot of questions raised about how they handled it. That was censored by Facebook. And then, as you know, maybe a year later, all of a sudden, oh, we can now talk about this. It's no longer something that could be censored. And the information really didn't change all that much. It was just suddenly it became an acceptable narrative. So it wasn't necessarily data. It was more of changing narratives, which we know, you know, we really can't make our decisions based on whatever is the most popular narrative at the time. It should be based on the actual data.
Yeah. And I began to look into, and especially as the death toll rose, it's like, what are we doing? And then one of my wife's best friends, who's a retired ER nurse, she got COVID. And when she got into the hospital, it began to affect her heart, and she asked for ivermectin because she knew its properties. They wouldn't give it to her. And as a result, she ended up having a pacemaker put in. So that began to really raise a lot of red flags. Why are we not talking about therapeutics? I mean, just sitting at home and just hope you get better. I mean, for most young people, that's probably what happened. Probably wasn't great going through it. But as we talked about at the beginning, 99% of people have survived COVID. A lot of the deaths have come from obesity, comorbidity, age, nursing homes. So most young people, by and large, will survive COVID. And the rate of survival, what is it, Chris? It's like over 99% or something like that?
Yeah, so, and certainly very, very high if you're a child. The one thing that can affect outcomes for children is if there is obesity. And since there are high rates of obesity, particularly in the U.S. among children, not to mention adults, of course, but because of the pervasive level of Americans, children and adults that have obesity, we do see higher outcomes of hospitalizations among children in the U.S. So that is obviously health is a very important factor here. And Jim, I mean, if you wouldn't mind, share some of your health profile. Because you, how old are you?
I'm 70.
You're 70. So you're in that high risk category, right? I would say 60 and older, certainly 70 and up, that would put you at a high risk.
And, you know, I like many Americans, I have high blood pressure. And 11 years ago, I had prostate cancer, and I've been cancer-free since. So I take health issues, working out. I work out 6 days a week. So I was in pretty good shape before I got hit with COVID. But the other thing, too, that hit me, Chris, is I had one family member that got COVID and a severe case of it. And this particular family member had 104-degree temperature. They had an in-house visit from a doctor. And basically, the doctor said, we need to get you into the hospital, into the COVID wing, and get you, we may have to put you on a ventilator. And so what he did is he knew he had two friends who had gone to the hospital on ventilators, both died. So he called a friend of his and said, hey, if I don't come back, and remember, if you died of COVID back then, they wouldn't even let family members see you, not even go to the funeral. So basically, somebody got him hydroxychloroquine, Z-Pak, and zinc, and within 3 or 4 days, he was better. So, you know, I heard that story. And so I was convinced that if you get COVID, you should have some kind of therapeutics ready in place because you want to knock this thing out when you first get it. You don't want to let it to go on and progress because that's when the risks get really high. So you want to knock this thing out the minute you get it. So fortunately, through doctors of the front line, I found a spot because I saw that hospitals were refusing to give it. Even when the family members of the patient would go to court and the judge would order the hospital to do it, they still wouldn't do it. I went and found a doctor who has treated COVID patients, literally thousands. And so I was lucky. I had hydroxy and ivermectin. And I had Z-Pak on standby. So in other words, the minute I got it, I planned to take it because I didn't want to get this thing out of control. And so that's exactly what happened. We've taken a number of steps to keep ourselves COVID-free. We've put an antiviral filtration system in our home and in the office, the same thing they use in hospitals. So we took all these steps, but I eventually got COVID.
So, Jim, let's dive into some of the details about your exact experience. You know, when did you first notice the symptoms and what did you do in response and how long did it take for you to recover?
You know, I first began to notice it was on a Wednesday. I began to cough, got a little headachey, didn't think much of it, went to bed. The next day I woke up, I had a headache. I had chills. I had coughing spasms. And literally, I had muscle fatigue. I felt like I'd, climbed Mount Everest. I mean, my legs and everything else. And so then I went online. I looked on COVID symptoms. And I got, oh, my goodness, I have just about every one of them. And so I called my COVID doctor. And I said, I think I may have COVID. And I described my symptoms. And he said, I want you to get tested. And I said, well, this was in the evening. And so I basically, he said, I want you to start your protocol regimen. So I immediately began taking ivermectin, and I immediately began with the Z-Pak. And then what he did is he ordered fluromoxacin. That's to kind of combat what they call COVID fog, brain fog. So I immediately began that. And it turned out when I got a COVID test, I got the results an hour later, and I was positive. So, Chris, I would say the one good thing about having the therapeutics, and then also I was using nutraceuticals, things like vitamin D, vitamin C, zinc, Curitin, to supplement that the body's immune system. But I took a treatment for 5 days of ivermectin, Z-Pak, and then I was taking fluromoxacin for brain fog because it does affect your thinking. But I would say the good thing about it, it never got to my lungs, so I never had trouble breathing because I knocked it out right away. Secondly, never lost my appetite. I never had a fever. But I would say, Chris, the overall effects that I've had to go through is more than anything else is a tiredness. There's this fatigue. I never lost my appetite, but I did lose my taste for food. In fact, the first 2 weeks, all I did was drink those little protein shakes. And the one good thing about it is I lost 20 pounds. Wouldn't recommend the COVID diet to any of you. My wife says, God, she says, you look as thin as when I first met you. So, anyway, I managed to keep that off. But yeah, I was lucky. I had things. And also, my COVID doctor had me give my wife ivermectin prophylactically because, you know, we're living in the same house. And she never got COVID as a result. So these are the kind of steps. Now, one thing I want to tell you about, I learned from research something called a nebulizer. So when you think about COVID, it enters the body either through the mouth or the nose. And so what this did is it cleaned out the nasal passages. And then also I began gargling. I use hydrogen peroxide with my water pick. So it cleans out the mouth of any kind of viral. I mean, hydrogen peroxide kills viruses. So now what I would do is anytime I get the sniffles or anything like that, I'll just nebulize. And usually that takes it away. So these are the steps that I went through. And the thing that really bothered me more than anything else is science is about debate. It's about studies. It's about research. And the thing that bothered me more than anything else is news was being censored and preventing people from getting different views. You know, I first looked at hydroxy. Then as I got more research, I start looking into ivermectin. Then I began looking into nutraceuticals. And also on masks, I want to talk about masks here because the politicians are asking us to put on masks again. Now think about this. If you got a mask, it's probably cloth. You're probably wearing it day in and day out. You go outside, you put your mask on, or maybe you leave it in the car. Think about this. What are you doing with that mask? Well, your hands are touching it. You're pulling it down to eat. You're putting it back up. You're putting it on, taking it off. You're touching. So anything that mask is filtrating on the outside, you're touching the face of that mask. Most people, Chris, do not wash their masks. Now, when we were first asked to wear masks, I got copper-infused masks. And what I would do is I would wash it, you know, once a week because we weren't going out very often because, you know, everything was on lockdown. But what I eventually switched over to on the advice of my COVID doctor, I wear paper masks. We have boxes of them. So when I go outside, I put my paper mask on. When I come back, I dispose of it. So I'm not wearing that same mask over and over again. If you're wearing the same mask over and over again, you're not doing yourself any good if you're not washing it and keeping it clean. So that's why I like the paper mask.
So Jim, let's recap here some of the things that you pointed out. You're 70 years old. Just based on age alone, that does put you in the higher risk category. You do have high blood pressure and you did have a battle with cancer. So, you know, I would say that you're in a pretty high risk category. However, with that said, you immediately did a treatment recommended by your doctor upon noticing the signs of COVID. That's key, right, is early treatment. And I think that that explains a lot of the differing research and conflicting reports that you'll hear on some of this stuff is how early were you treated with some of these things. Let's briefly touch upon the controversy surrounding ivermectin, because now you're hearing all about it in the news with Joe Rogan taking ivermectin. There's a bunch of different sites saying that Joe Rogan has taken horse dewormer. Do you mind sorting through some of the, if we want to call it misinformation or reporting around ivermectin that we're seeing right now?
Yeah, a lot of it is misinformation. They're acting like ivermectin and hydroxy are experimental drugs versus the vaccines, which are experimental. Hydroxy has been around 50, 60 years. They take it for malaria. I mean, I have a friend of mine who does exploration work down in South America. Every time he goes down there, he takes hydroxychloroquine because of malaria. You want to go to Africa. I have some friends in our church who are missionaries, and when they went to Africa, they took hydroxychloroquine. So that's been around 40, 50 years. Ivermectin has been around since 1975. I mean, over 4 billion people on this planet have taken ivermectin. In terms of these, there are a bunch of false stories. There was a false story out of a hospital someplace in the Midwest that was getting overwhelmed with ivermectin overdoses. Turned out they had to yank that. It was a false story. But, you know, when you've got 4 billion, I mean, you go to Mexico, you get ivermectin, you get hydroxy, it's in the pharmacy next to the vitamins. So it's not like it's something like heroin or something else that you're taking. Ivermectin has been around since 1975, I think in the 60s for hydroxy versus experimental vaccines. And now we're finding out, Chris, you can get COVID with vaccine. I've got two friends, both of them vaccinated, both got COVID. For one of them, it was pretty bad, but he has a comorbidity. The other one, you know, he was over it within a week. So, you know, you can still get it with vaccines. But the thing about what I don't like about all of this is politicians telling us to do it, mandating it, the constitutional things that they've overridden, overriding judges. I can't understand the health industry. Now, let's put it this way. You're in the hospital. You got COVID. You're on a ventilator. It looks like you may die. What is wrong with giving you ivermectin if it could save your life, or hydroxy? That's what I don't understand, why the medical profession is not doing that. I mean, what do you got to lose? You may die at this point.
Well, with all the reporting about ivermectin being a horse dewormer, let's clarify some issues here. Ivermectin is not now widely available as it was. You used to be able to order it. You could get it from your doctors. But because of pressure from the FDA and the health organizations, that has now been, there's been a kibosh put on that. And so what people have done is they've tried to get around by getting it from the horse or animal dewormer form. So there's ivermectin in that. Now, Joe Rogan did not take the horse dewormer. He took the actual ivermectin, the over-the-counter version of it, which is widely used, as you admitted, around the globe for all sorts of different reasons. But that being said, there is a lot of misreporting about Joe Rogan taking horse dewormer. And just for the record, when you said that you took ivermectin, you did not take the horse dewormer version, which obviously there...
No, I took the sheep version.
Okay. All right. Thank you for clarifying that. You took the version that is recommended for humans, which is what Joe Rogan did as well. So there's been a lot of misinformation and, again, stories taking a life of their own, or disinformation, misinformation, false narratives, whatever you want to call it, around this issue, which is very interesting. You know, I want to just admit, I was very skeptical about a lot of the reporting around hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin as being efficacious therapeutic treatments. But it wasn't until we spoke with Dr. Peter McCullough on our show, who developed some of the medical guidelines for treating COVID patients with, like you said, ivermectin, Z-Pak, various nutraceuticals, how you can, if you get these in early treatment, if you get to the patient early on when they're showing symptoms, that you will see a major reductions in mortality and also hospitalization. So once I started looking into a lot of the things that he said on our show, I just started coming across research after research, study after study, showing that ivermectin is effective. And this was not what I was hearing in the news. On the contrary, you're hearing just the opposite. And I just want to point out, from what I've collected now at this point, for the record, I did get vaccinated because I lived with my mother-in-law at the time in which COVID broke out, and she lived with us, and she's also in that high-risk category, so I did it more for her than for me. But that being said, when I started looking at the research and I started looking at the conflicts between some of the research, it was clear that if you look at the preponderance of the studies, the meta-analysis that's been done, and we are going to post a number of these, by the way, which are posted on the National Institute of Health's website, the government website, about the effectiveness of ivermectin. We're going to have these posted where this interview is located on Financial Sense. It was pretty clear that scientists, after study had shown. Now, there are some reports that say it doesn't work, but a lot of that comes down to is from the reporting that I've looked at. When was the dose given? Was it early? Was it late? How much of a dose was given? Was it in relation to body mass? All of these various things which apply. But overall, if you look at the studies, my understanding is that ivermectin is a proven treatment. So, and that's not the horse dewormer again. This is the doctor recommended, the one that is widely used around the world for all sorts of different diseases.
Yeah, and one thing I also want to point out is what we're also seeing. Not only are hospitals and certain members of the healthcare profession not prescribing it, no matter how bad or sick you get, but now, Chris, the big pharmacies are not honoring doctors' requests. I got mine at CVS, where I got my ivermectin, and when I used it up, I went to renew it, And CVS just told me they're not no longer going to renew it. And this is corporate. I had another client who is in another state, went to renew their ivermectin, same thing. So you're not able to get it. But the important thing that we want to get across, whatever your views are, we're going to post the research. Read it. Do your own thinking. It's your body, your health, because the real key is catching it at the beginning and doing something about it. And that's why I chose to use therapeutics immediately to treat it, because I saw what happened when it was given to a family member. I saw other people that took it. I did my own research as I learned more about therapeutics than I came across ivermectin, especially watching Dr. McCullough's testimony before Congress. They called him in because he's, like I said, when I interviewed him, he's the only guy I know that has more designations after his name than I do. I think he has 12. I have 9. He's got 12. And I looked at that and I thought, yeah, I want to read that. I got the report, the transcript of the report to Congress, and that started me doing my research on ivermectin. So I was prepared, should I get it or my wife get it? Like my wife, she chose to get vaccinated, but I still had her on ivermectin prophylactically because she was living with me. I didn't want her to get it. And, you know, once again, keep your body healthy and strong. I was lucky. I work out 6 days a week, 100 minutes 3 days a week, and 60 minutes the other three. And so I was in fairly good shape going into this. And now I've started my workouts again. I'm probably 75% of where I used to be, but I'm getting there slowly. The important thing is we want you to do your own thinking. Don't take what you hear in the media. How many times have the media been proven wrong? How many times have government officials told you one thing on Monday, they change it on Friday? And that's, once again, that's what got me to question what was going on. You tell me to do one thing, I do that, then all of a sudden you change it. Or you told me to tell one thing, and if I did that one thing, this would happen, then that's not what happened. So these are things that raised questions in my own mind that forced me to do research. I mean, that's what I do for a living. It's no different than when I look at a stock. I look at a stock, I see the earnings, I'm going to question those earnings. Are they manipulating them with accounting techniques, or what are they doing? So I look beyond that, and that's what you should do, because after all, folks, this is your health.
And once again, we are going to have a list of research articles and studies that have been done on a number of things that we discussed. These are published mostly on the NIH, the National Institutes of Health government website. So these are not on the dark corners of the internet. These are official studies that have been done by American Journal of Therapeutics, researchers in India and across the world where ivermectin has been tried. These are both meta-analyses and others that we definitely think you should probably look at. And again, don't just believe everything that you hear in the news when it comes to people taking dewormers or crowding patients out of hospitals because of them overdosing on such drugs. As we've seen already, these are just totally blatantly false. And even the reporting around Joe Rogan taking horse dewormer is also fake news that is circulating right now. So we're just, as Jim said, encouraging you to think critically, do your own research. And we'll have a list of very interesting links that we think you will enjoy where this interview is posted on Financial Sense.
You know, I just want to emphasize once again, this show today was about my story and my experience with COVID, the things that I did that helped me. And I want to point out once again, I'm not a doctor. Things that I did may not work for you. That's why we're going to provide you with some links, do your own research, but most importantly, discuss with your own doctor. In the meantime, on behalf of Chris Sheridan and myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us here on Lifetime Planning. Until we talk again, we hope you have a pleasant week.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.